Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 10th day of February, 2021. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program somebody that I thoroughly enjoyed interviewing not long ago for the very first time. He came to me at the highest glowing and enthusiastic recommendations of my friend Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, who you've actually heard as a guest on this program 2 days in a row here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I'm speaking of Dr. Philip Kaiser. He is an author. He is the pastor of Dominion Covenant Church of Omaha, Nebraska, and he is the founder of Biblical Blueprints and the Dominion Institute. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to discuss biblical romance, Phil Kaiser.
Thank you, Chris. It's my pleasure to be with you. Interesting topic. Not one that many people probably talk about on the radio.
Well, since Valentine's Day is just around the corner, 4 days from now, which is also, just to give my listeners a hint, if they happen to be passing by a BMW dealership, it is also my birthday. So, yes, February 14th has actually been a curse, I think, for a birthday, because as long as I have been old enough to start dating when I was a teenager, and then, of course, when I was married for nearly 20 years, on my birthday, I always had to buy someone else a gift because it was Valentine's Day as well. So
kill two birds with one stone, huh?
Yeah, well, I actually felt like I was being gypped every time because I had to shell out money on my own birthday. But before we get into the discussion, which is actually a book that you have written, Biblical Romance, What Does the Bible Say About Finding a Spouse?, Let's find out more about Biblical Blueprints.
Well, Biblical Blueprints has been going for quite a number of years, and it is really designed to try to show people that the Bible is sufficient to give the foundations for absolutely every area of life. One of the big projects that I'm working on is a great axioms project. It's kind of behind the scenes, showing how every axiom of mathematics, physics, logic, linguistics, we've got 30 different areas of life are right there in the Bible, and form the foundation so that we can go out and do research in the world with confidence. And so I write, I lecture, I do conferences. We've got quite a number of different programs with Biblical Blueprints trying to restore to the church a confidence in the Bible.
Praise God. And if anybody wants to find out more information about Biblical Blueprints, go to biblicalblueprints.org, biblicalblueprints.org. Now let us know something about the Dominion Institute.
Yeah, Dominion Institute obviously has the same worldview, but this is taking a lot of the leadership issues, the worldview issues to other countries. It's mentoring pastors, church planters and others, and just providing resources, especially for the third world, but providing resources here in the States as well.
Great. And if anybody wants more information about Dominion Institute, go to dominioninstitute.org, dominioninstitute.org. Last but not least, let's find out more about your church where you pastor, and that is Dominion Covenant Church of Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes, we started this in the summer of 1999, and our goal was to keep planting churches. This is like the fourth church in this area that we were involved in planting. And we are committed to exalting the kingship of Christ over all of life, enjoying his grace, and seeking to disciple people into the whole counsel of God. So it's a very conservative Presbyterian church and part of the Covenant Presbyterian church denomination.
And if anybody wants more information about Dominion Covenant Church of Omaha, Nebraska, go to dominioncovenantchurch.com. The only one of the websites I've mentioned that has com at the end, not org, dominioncovenantchurch.com. Well, this is a subject that I think is a lot more important than people might see on the surface. They might think this is just a cute, nice, little cozy subject to have since Valentine's Day is around the corner. But of course, those that have experienced, and perhaps still are experiencing, the heartache of trying to find a spouse, the heartache of having found a spouse that turned out to be a nightmare because the person turned out to be perhaps a false convert, or even if they continued to profess Christianity, perhaps they're extremely abusive or unfaithful. There's all kinds of things that have brought people through great trials in regard to this subject, and also when they didn't follow the biblical blueprint, to use the name of one of your organizations, they wound up courting, dating, getting married to people they had no business as a Christian to be pursuing as a lifelong spouse. But can I ask you, what was the initial compelling reason that you had it placed upon your heart, the burden that you had upon your heart to write this book to begin with?
Well, we obviously as pastors get lots of questions on the ethics involved in many subjects, but that's including finding a spouse. And, you know, with all of the courtship wars that have been going on with different perspectives out there, I kept answering questions, and I thought, you know, I need to finally get this down onto paper so that I can hand people a book. There's a lot of legalism out there, and part of the reason for it is not that they don't have some biblical basis for what they are doing, but they've taken, you know, one of seven paradigms that the Bible has given and insist that's the only way that you can do it. And because there are different expectations that two families may have when they're entering into some kind of a relationship with one of their children, they can have really hurt feelings because of the different expectations that were not met. And so this is kind of helping them to navigate what those expectations are. There's actually a lot of liberty that the Scripture does give, but it gives universal principles to get people to the altar, so to speak, pure. The Apostle Paul talked about presenting a bride as a chaste virgin to her husband. Now, it's using that as an analogy of the church and Christ, but that concept of a chaste virgin is not enough to get to the altar as a virgin. He wants you to get to the altar as a chaste virgin without having a lot of regrets that are out there. And so I've seen people who had perfectly good intentions slide quickly into sexual involvement when they were dating. They had no intention of committing fornication, but the very process of the kind of dating that they were engaged in almost guaranteed that they would fall. And on the other hand, people have overreacted in the opposite direction, and they don't want there to be any romance of what God intended for example, during betrothal section, to be a really incredibly joyful time of learning all of the different arts of romance. The different languages of love has ended up being a very stifling. And so then there's overreaction in the opposite direction. So what I call the courtship and the dating wars and the differing perspectives people have had on how to get married, I'm trying to help people to navigate what the Bible says are the boundaries and what are the areas of liberty that we can have and what are the principles that can protect our daughters and our sons from anguish and from heartache in the future.
Well, I'd like you to go into more detail of examples on both ends of the spectrum of legalism and license when it comes to this whole subject, because I find what you're saying very interesting. I have had guests on this program who in the past who have stood for very firmly an exclusive courtship understanding of pursuing a spouse. And just to throw in my two cents, the thing that I have always said in reservation or apprehension about that prohibition of dating is that if you immediately start pursuing or request the courtship relationship with someone that you see at church or have been introduced to or etc., I've told the folks that were promoting an exclusive courtship scenario that to me it would seem that that would make people more tend toward pursuing somebody that was physically attractive, very physically attractive, because you're going by initially the appearance of somebody. If you don't even know them, if you haven't had any chance to have dinner with them or anything yet, what else are you basing this desire to begin courting them on? But I don't know if I'm making sense there, but maybe I just put my foot in my mouth. I don't know, but perhaps.
No, I understand what you're saying, because you know, it can go both directions on that. If people get involved physically with each other, they may see danger signals like, wow, this person's worldview is quite different than mine, but they're already so committed in heart that they fail to talk through the big issues that need to be talked through before marriage. And so on the one end, you don't want people to... I mean, I'm actually not opposed to... the kind of arranged marriages that happen in some of the African countries. I grew up in Ethiopia, and I saw arranged marriages actually turn out rather well within Christian circles when they're talking through the biblical principles. But on the other hand, there's arranged marriages that turn out not so good. They're done just for purely the economic interests of the parents. I know there's a book out there that says, it's by Houck, that says you need to be passive. You shouldn't even look for a wife. And the illustration that he gives is of Adam being put to sleep, and God, in other words, he was totally passive, and then he wakes up and God gives him a wife. And yet the scripture commands us to seek wives, even seek wives for our daughters, seek wives for your sons. And so the scripture allows the parents to be involved. It allows the wife the daughter to be involved, not just in terms of having veto power, but there's two or three scriptures that say that the woman needs to be able to marry whom she pleases, whom she desires. And so the woman, the man, the parents are involved. Obviously, we're looking for the Lord's guidance in this. And what I have found is people camp out on a handful of scriptures and don't look at the whole paradigm. And that's where the legalism comes in. My way of approaching marriage is the only way. Even dating, because it has so many different definitions, it can be problematic, or it can be, oh, it's much like what somebody else's courtship is like. Courtship has so many different definitions. So I just, in this book, decided I'm going to avoid all labels, and we're just going to stick to what the scripture says, and instead of calling it courtship or calling it dating, I just call it seeking a spouse.
Well, when someone is beginning to do that, they see someone that they, obviously, there is typically, if not the vast majority of time, a physical attraction that one has towards the person of the opposite gender. And what do you offer in your book, and what suggestions or counsel do you have to involve in this whole process of even how to approach a person? There is the old-fashioned way that is probably rarely done, but it's even done, I have heard, on a number of occasions, by people who aren't even believers, but who perhaps they know the father of this woman who they'd like to start dating, and they have such a high regard for this person and a high level of respect that they ask permission first.
Sure.
Would you mind if I asked your daughter out to dinner? And, of course, for those who have the exclusive courtship view, they would phrase it differently, perhaps. I have a very deep interest in courting your daughter to the pursuing the possibility of marriage. Do you give your blessings on this, etc.? But tell us about your views on this and your counsel about any ideas that are biblically sound that give us liberty and even guardrails on approaching someone to begin some kind of a relationship.
Yeah, there are different passages that I use in the book that give general principles. And again, when I say general principles, it's going to be maybe a little bit different for two young people who are wanting to get married versus a Boaz and a Ruth who are much older, and how they're going to approach it. Genesis 24, you know, people kind of frown on that, because here is a dad who has sent his steward out to find a bride for Isaac. I say, man, I don't know if I would ever trust my dad. Well, if you don't trust your dad's judgment, then yeah, that's not going to be a good thing. Like, we'll say he's an unbeliever. But there are fathers who could be totally trusted to find a spouse for their wives, and especially those who are having difficulty getting married, involving another pastor and say, you know, could you help me find a spouse? I think it's a perfectly appropriate thing to do. One of the principles that I see in Genesis 24 is it's better to wait a long time than get married to the wrong one. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as his wife in Genesis 24. And yet, the other principle is we shouldn't just be waiting. We should be actively seeking, and even being willing to think outside the box when we've not been able to find a spouse locally. And so I've helped people find spouses by introducing people that I know from other churches. So there's not one way of doing this. As I said, that there's multiple models in the Bible. What's given are principles to keep us chaste and virgins all the way to the altar, and those are laid out quite clearly by Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a passage that some people interpret as just how to have self-control, but the word katamai is used in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4, where it says that each of you should know how to possess, as one translation, or obtain his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And I take that as obtaining one's spouse. It's the same phrase that's used in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, that each of you, that the wife is the weaker vessel. Well, that each one should know how to obtain his own spouse in sanctification and honor. In other words, there's ways you could do it where it's not very sanctified. It's not very honoring to the Lord. It's not following God's commands. And he refers to the commands that God gives in the Old Testament in that passage. So, in other words, my book draws out principles for obtaining a spouse in each of those passages.
And from what you've already said, you believe there is a liberty and variety of ways, as long as one is not doing something that God would find offensive. Tell us about what you mean by avoiding reductionism.
Well, reductionism is where you take one, like, for example, in this case, one model for finding a spouse, and then insist that's the only model, especially if the scripture is given several, explicitly given several models. So for example, there's one book that is out there that outlines betrothal as being the only model. Now, I believe it's a legitimate, a very biblical model. There are examples of arranged marriages without any courtship and with a betrothal. On the other hand, there is examples of courtship and betrothal. There is examples of of an arranged marriage of a slave, which according to Galatians 4 was treated just like your own child. And so normally you would try to negotiate and arrange a marriage between your child and the child of another family. But in this case, there's two people who are under the authority of a parent, and they're getting married to each other. So, in other words, there's a wide range out there, and you can derive universal principles from all of those paradigms.
And we're going to be getting much more deeply into the contents of this book, Biblical Romance, What Does the Bible Say About Finding a Spouse, right after our first station break. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And this is one of those topics where I could definitely readily see and expect that people might want to remain anonymous, especially if they are in a situation involving pursuing someone that they would desire, at least right now, to have as a spouse. Or perhaps they are in a difficult marriage situation, or whatever the case may be. This is the kind of topic that lends itself to people most likely wanting to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, a question on the biblical teachings, a theological question on this area, please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages with more of Dr. Phil Kaiser and Biblical Romance. Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco and Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics
with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full program is Dr. Philip Kaiser, and we are discussing his book, Biblical Romance, What Does the Bible Say About Finding a Spouse? If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Now, you've used the word a number of times, and the word appears in your book, a betrothal. That is somewhat of an antiquated term, and you go through three different aspects of this. Marriages without a time of discussion or betrothal, marriages with betrothal alone, and marriages after a season of discussion and betrothal. If you could go into more detail about what betrothal means and the differences between those two aspects or approaches.
Yeah, betrothal is basically a contract to get married. Marriage itself is a covenant, and betrothal can be a covenant, doesn't have to be. When the Bible speaks of marriages, it only speaks of one covenant of marriage, and that is at the time of marriage itself. But I define betrothal as a time of where people, it's after you have gotten committed to getting married that you are learning the art of romance. And there are many women that wish that their husbands knew more ways to express love to them than simply in bed. And this is the perfect time to express non-sexual love to each other. I think Hosea 2 is a marvelous example of God's perfect divine example of betrothal, where he says that he will allure his betrothed to himself, and where there's a lot of people in the betrothal movements who say, no, that's verboten. You cannot say, I love you. You cannot get your heart away during betrothal. But that's precisely the time when you should be giving your heart away. And
I mean, you would wonder how, especially a woman, would even want to consider marrying a man, unless, of course, he's stunningly handsome and incredibly rich, if he never says to her that he loves her or that she's beautiful. Or, I mean, that's just, that seems strange.
Right. Well, you'll see in evangelical circles all kinds of extremes where people bounce back and forth out of the betrothal movement and just say, we're not even going to look at the Bible for what to do. They just do whatever. But the Bible actually gives a great deal of freedom. I view it almost like, and I think I use that illustration in my book, of how God intended the Sabbath to be an incredibly joyful and delightful day. And yet the Pharisees, trying to keep people from sinning, added a fence around the law, and they added so many man-made regulations that turned a delightful day into an incredible burden, anything but a delight. Well, I see the same thing happening in some circles with regard to getting married. They have seen the dangers of fornication and people basically getting involved physically with each other, only to discover later they're not compatible with each other in terms of worldview or anything else, but it's almost too late now. And so they've gone to the opposite extreme, and they have borrowed from medieval Jewish practices that are not even biblical, and they've said, this is what betrothal is. We need to allow the Bible itself to define betrothal, and as I was saying, Hosea 2 defines it as being a time that's not even necessarily chaperoned, where he speaks love to her, he speaks comfort into her life. Hosea 2 verse 15 gives gifts. That's one of the languages of love, is gift-giving. And a door of hope speaks wonderful words with her. They sing together. In fact, they're so in love with each other, it's almost like the whole world has turned upside down, is the language that's used in Hosea 2:14. So I see betrothal as a glorious time of showing all of the languages of love. I mean, there can even be touch, so long as it's not touch that arouses sexual desire. You know, in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1, Paul said, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, some people take that to the extreme and say, okay, well, we can't hold hands, we can't have a hand around the shoulder or anything like that. Well, if it arouses sexual desire in a person, then they should not. But the literal rendering of that is to ignite a fire. The word is good not to touch. And so anything that gets a person revved where it's almost like foreplay, you should avoid. And for every person, that's going to be somewhat different. But in Hosea 2, God shows what freedom and law together, in fact, it's the perfect law of liberty, isn't it? If we, God's law was not designed to take away freedom from it. It gives us maximum freedom. One of the expressions that some people use is a railroad tracks is the law of God, and it gives a train maximum power, maximum freedom. The moment it derails, it gets itself into trouble. But anyway, I would just encourage people to read Hosea 2, 14 through 23. It's an incredible example of betrothal as God would speak of it. You know, a lot of people's engagements is really equivalent to a betrothal. So it's a different language, but it's a commitment. I want to marry you. You give a token, you know, a ring or something like that as a pledge. Yeah, we're going to get married. Now, that does not mean it can't be broken if you discover fraud. You know, you discover this person was already married to somebody else, or...
That would be bigamy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As Groucho Marx used to say, big of you, it's big of me.
Right. So when you look at life through the general principles of Scripture that are universal, they can manifest themselves in quite a variety of ways of people getting married that might look different in different cultures, but the principles will always be applied. And, you know, First Thessalonians 4 gives, what is it, 7 or 8 principles that will help us to get to the altar pure. And one of those principles that he gives in the first verses is that you abstain from sexual immorality. Now, that's not just going all the way, but it when you look at all of the definitions of sexual immorality, it would include petting. It would include anything that leads to sexual arousal that's only really appropriate within the marriage.
Well, we have an anonymous listener who says, do you believe in marriage after divorce? My late wife was divorced before we were married. And I had at least one very close friend who refused to come to the wedding because of that. What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, the whole question of marriage, divorce, and remarriage is a very controversial one within evangelical circles. But if you are the victim of a divorce, in other words, the other person divorced you, got married to somebody else, I do believe that you are free to remarry. So the question is the divorce a biblical divorce? If it is, then 1 Corinthians 7 says you are no longer bound by that marriage. Not everybody agrees on this. You can find about five or six differing views on divorce and remarriage, but I follow what is written in the Westminster Confession of Faith, that irresolvable abandonment and fornication. For the believer, it's fornication. For the unbeliever, it's a situation where they just are not willing to live with you as a wife or a husband, which could involve sexual abandonment. It could involve not giving food and clothing. Exodus 21 talks about even a slave wife, you know, a person who married a slave, she can no longer be treated as a slave, needs to have the rights of a full, any other full wife would have. If he reduces her food, clothing, in other words, this is the maximum level with an unbeliever, he refuses to supply food, sexual rights, and clothing, that woman was free to go out. So I do believe that there is legitimate divorce, and the Bible makes a distinction between divorce between believers, which would be adultery would be the only case there, and for unbelievers. And hopefully, you know, people who go to a Reformed church like a Reformed Baptist church that holds to the London Confession, a Reformed Presbyterian church holds to the Westminster Westminster Confession, you could navigate those waters using those confessions.
And I have heard an excellent book being recommended to people who are struggling through that issue by John Murray. Are you familiar with John Murray's book on divorce?
Yes.
I believe it's just called Divorce, but he affirms what you are saying.
Right, right. Roman Catholics do not allow for any divorce and remarriage. What they do is they get around it by calling it an annulment. It never was married in the first place, which is really disingenuous. But
I've found it both comical and tragic simultaneously. When I say comical, I don't mean to undermine the pain that it caused the woman that I know, but it was comically ridiculous, the excuse that her husband gave for filing divorce. He said, I am returning to my Roman Catholic religion, so I want a divorce. So that's really ridiculous. That's like saying I'm buying stock in a pork butcher shop because I've become a Muslim or something like that. That doesn't make any sense.
Right, yeah.
As far as that anonymous listener, oh, by the way, let me give the good news to that anonymous listener who asked about divorce and remarriage. If you give me, of course, privately through an email, your full name and full mailing address, you have won a free copy of Biblical Romance, What Does the Bible Say About Finding a Spouse? By our guest, Dr. Philip Kaiser. And we thank Dr. Kaiser for his generosity and the generosity of Biblical Blueprints for providing this free book for you. And we also thank our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will actually be shipping it out to you at no cost to you or to us at Iron Sharpens Iron. Thanks for the question. So I'm assuming then, if you are interested in pursuing a relationship with a person who has been divorced, you should find out why, because as you were saying, even though you believe in a liberty to marry a divorced person, there has to be a biblical reason why the divorce took place to begin with.
Yes, because if a person divorced for unbiblical reasons, the Bible says, "Let no man what God has put together, let no man separate." Only God can put a marriage apart. Just because men have put it apart with a divorce does not mean God considers it apart. So there could be people who are involved actually in serial polygamy or serial bigamy because their previous divorces were not legitimate. And so what I recommend is that they get their church to listen to all of the evidence from the parties, examine witnesses, make a declaration on this being a legitimate divorce, or let's say it wasn't a legitimate divorce, but one of the partners got remarried, and they were now fitting into the situation of Deuteronomy 21, where it says they cannot come back to the first partner. That has broken it irreversibly. Then they could get remarried. But it really should take a church court to make that determination.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Arnie says, I have a friend whose daughter abandoned Christianity and pursued a relationship with a man in a false religion and converted to this false religion and married this man. What counsel or advice should I give to the parent of this woman and how to react, respond, and involve himself in the life that she now has with her new husband and this false religion?
Well, two things that I would say to them. The first is that you really do need to take seriously the whole issue of stewardship of whatever inheritance that you have. A person who has abandoned the faith really ought not to receive an inheritance. It's not your money, it's the Lord's money that you're passing on to the next generation. But the second thing I would say is, even though that is true, you do want to keep open doors and continue to witness and reach out to these people. Obviously, there could be other complications involved. This person might be undermining your home, undermining your other children, and you might have to cut off relationships. But normally speaking, you want to keep open doors and hope to continue to reach them with the gospel. And there's a book I would recommend called Come Home, Barbara, that was written by a pastor whose daughter had gone astray.
Oh, I've actually seen that book. I've never read it, but I've seen it advertised in print.
It's a good book. It's really an excellent book. So life is complicated. It's got all kinds of messes, and the Bible not only gives the ideal solutions, but it also gives what to do in messed up situations. For example, some of the paradigms that are given in the Bible for marriage, you would not want, because they're for messed up situations, like when you've committed fornication with a girl. And that's not an automatic situation where there is marriage. The law of God in Exodus says you could mandate a marriage there, and no possibility of divorce because of your lack of integrity in this. But it's not automatic that that a marriage has to happen. So the Bible helps people to navigate with its principles all kinds of weird, messed up situations that are out there. And that's why I recommend that people study all of these principles for courtship, divorce, courtship, betrothal, marriage, divorce, remarriage, what to do with polygamous situations. You know, we grew up in Africa where people would come to faith and they're already married to three women.
How do you deal with that? Because I know of Reformed Christian pastors in Africa who would not counsel the polygamist after becoming a Christian to abandon those other wives and not to pursue anymore. But how do you view that situation?
Right. And again, that's controversial. The mission agency that my parents were with in Ethiopia made them take care of the second, third, and fourth wives, but only have sexual relations with the first one. And I'm thinking, well, now you're depriving the second, third, and fourth as well. My own view is that 1 Timothy says that elders cannot be the husbands of one wife, but it's assuming that there are others in that church.
You mean must be the husband of one wife. You said cannot.
Right, exactly. And so what I would say is a pastor should tell this husband his responsibility to nurture, care for, sexually provide for all of his three, four wives. He's going to be kept so busy, so tired, he's never going to be tempted to marry anyone.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now, and please be patient with us. It's longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they have to localize all of their programming geographically through Lake City, Florida, according to the FCC. So while they air their own public service announcements and other local things, we air our globally heard commercials. So therefore, please, while you listen to this break, write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers, which will help to further ensure that our advertisers will remain our advertisers, because that is absolutely crucial for us to remaining on the air. We need our advertisers and the finances that come from their ad campaigns to exist. We do not receive enough donations, not nearly enough donations, alone to rely upon those funds solely as a way of keeping on the air. So, please try to patronize our advertisers as much as possible. Further ensure that you'll do that by writing down the information. And remember, sometimes when you can't actually patronize an advertiser, you can't purchase their products, use their services, visit their churches, just reach out to them in the ways they provide: phone number, email address, website. Reach out to them and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That is, if indeed you love the show and you are grateful for their advertising, which keeps us on the air. So at least thank them, and also write down questions for Dr. Philip Kaiser on biblical romance and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors, so don't go away.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, how much We depend upon solid-ground-books.com for our existence. They are a vital sponsor of this program. If they were to discontinue their advertising with us, we would very likely go off the air, barring a miracle from God financially. So please try to support solid-ground-books.com as much as possible, especially because they publish the very finest in Christian literature from the past and the present available today. And there are many reasons to buy books from solid-ground-books.com, many reasons for giving gifts, and make your first stop when considering a gift for someone you love solid-ground-books.com. No matter what the occasion, whether it's a birthday, whether it is a wedding anniversary, whether it is an engagement celebration, whether it is a bereavement gift for someone you know that has lost a loved one, whether it is a retirement party, a baptism celebration, whatever the case is, please go to solid-ground-books.com. And remember, don't only purchase books for your brothers and sisters in Christ, but purchase books also for the lost folks in your life, because the Lord in His sovereignty and through His providence very often uses very solid, biblically sound books to draw the lost to Himself and save them. So remember your saved and lost friends alike when purchasing gifts, and go to solid-ground-books.com to do so. Always remember to mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our guest today, who is Dr. Philip Kaiser, and our discussion on biblical romance, we just have a few very important announcements to make. First of all, tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we have returning to the program for part two of a discussion that we began a number of weeks ago, Jim Osman. He wrote a book called God Doesn't Whisper. It is a refutation of those that believe God uses extra-biblical divine revelation and still small voices and other things to guide and instruct His people today. Jim Osman believes completely in not only sola scriptura, that the scriptures alone are our sole, final, inerrant, and infallible authority over the church today. He also believes in the sufficiency of scripture, and I'm sure that you will be blessed if you listen to this program tomorrow. John MacArthur wrote the foreword to the book, and tomorrow, part two of our discussion, we're going to be focusing on Muslim experiences with extra-biblical visions and dreams and other so-called extra-biblical divine revelation that is very often a part of the salvation testimony of Muslims. So we're going to be focusing on that, although not talking about that exclusively. On Friday, we have returning for another part two, man that you've been hearing in a lot of ads on Iron Sharpens Iron, Dr. Jason M. Garwood. He is the author of Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. So make sure you mark your calendar for Friday for that interview as well. Also, folks, if you love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please, to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. The coronavirus pandemic and the hysteria connected to it has seriously hurt us financially, because it has seriously hurt many people in our audience. Many people have had their businesses either close or their businesses have just been harmed incredibly financially. So they have had to cut back on their giving, they've had to cut back on their advertising, they've had to postpone their advertising, all sorts of things that have hurt us financially. So if you are able to help make up for the difference, we would be very appreciative of you, as I already am, to all who support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You'll never know, this side of glory, how grateful I am to you and how grateful I am to God for you. I know I don't say it nearly often enough, and I don't say it as articulately as I wish I could, but I really thank God for those of you who think so highly of this show that you take a portion of your hard-earned money and send it to us to help us remain on the air. That means worlds to me. So if you love this show and you've never given before and you're able to, please consider giving. If you love this show, have given to it before, but it's been a long time, please consider giving again. And if you love this program and you give regularly to this program and you don't want it to disappear and you can afford to give more, please consider giving more. We really are in urgent need of your financial help. And you can go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way through the mailing address, the physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You could also advertise with us. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. If that is the case, please send me an email quickly and put in the subject line advertising. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and we will try to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as we can. Also, folks, I try to remind our listeners every day that I don't want anybody punishing their own churches where they are a member financially by blessing us financially. In other words, don't siphon money away from your own local church giving or your own giving to your local church. Don't siphon money away from that in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also, please don't put your family in serious financial jeopardy or financial peril if you are already truly struggling to survive and make ends meet. Those two things are commands of God in the Scriptures, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God in Scripture. But if you love the show and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, you have extra money that you use for recreational purposes. You have extra money to go to the movies, to go out fine dining, to go out to fast food restaurants, to go out to your favorite sporting events, to go out to concerts and theatrical performances and Bible conferences and on and on. If you have extra money that you use for recreational purposes and you don't want us to go off the air, please consider using some of that money to help us remain on the air. Again, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, a thoroughly sound, biblically faithful church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church. Sometimes, even within minutes from your own home, I have helped people find churches all over the globe, close to their homes, that they didn't even know existed. Or sometimes they knew that the churches existed, but they didn't know that they were biblically faithful. I have very extensive lists spanning the globe of faithful churches. So no matter where you live, send me an email if you are in that position of not having a biblically solid church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Dr. Philip Kaiser. And our discussion again is biblical romance. What does the Bible say about finding a spouse? chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a private and personal matter. And let's see here. We have another anonymous question. And the anonymous listener asks, I have heard from some that since it was forbidden in the Old Testament to marry a woman that you've already divorced, does that follow through to the New Covenant as I have heard some insist? In other words, if you've divorced a woman, can you ever marry her again?
Yeah, good question. It does not say that you cannot marry a woman that you have divorced. Deuteronomy 21 says that you cannot marry her if she has subsequently gotten remarried. There are people out there that say that that second marriage is not legitimate, and so you need to divorce that second husband and go back to your first husband. But Deuteronomy 21 absolutely forbids that. Jeremiah 3 as well says that it's an abomination, it defiles the earth. And the New Testament does not change the Old Testament laws on divorce and remarriage. This is one of the issues you can test a book on whether it's good or not. Almost every passage in the New Testament that deals with divorce and remarriage upholds the Old Testament laws in the immediate context. In Luke, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle of the law will pass away. And then the next verse talks about divorce and remarriage. Romans chapter 7, in you who know the law, don't you know that the law says that a man is bound to his wife until she dies? And people say, okay, well, what then, if you're bound till she dies, why could there be any divorce whatsoever? And the answer is that in the Old Testament, there were death penalties for adultery, and divorce was allowed as a lesser penalty. A person could have mercy upon the spouse, and just like Joseph did. It says, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example of her, that would be stoning her, he decided to put her away privately. And so divorce, according to the Westminster Confession, as well as according to the London Confession, is treated as if the person, if it's legitimate, it's as if the person has died. Instead of calling for the death penalty, you say, I'm just going to file for a divorce. And so that would break the marriage. But anyway, the point is, Romans 7 even is upholding the Old Testament law, which clearly allowed for divorce and remarriage.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. Make sure you email us your real full name and your mailing address so that you can also receive a free copy of Biblical Romance, What Does the Bible Say About Finding a Spouse? And we want to thank Dr. Phil Kaiser, our guest today, and biblicalblueprints.org. And also Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, for making sure that that book is mailed to you, free of charge to you and to us. We have yet another anonymous listener who says, I keep hearing from very conservative and reformed pastors that the only two allowances for a biblical divorce are adultery and abandonment. But what about a spouse that is habitually beaten and treated with physical violence? What is the option for such a victim?
Okay, that's a great question. And my answer to it would be that if this husband, both of you are members of a church, you need to be taking that to the church elders and asking them to confront him. If he does not repent and stop, he needs to be escalating that discipline, have the discipline escalated to the point of excommunication, at which point you treat him as if he is an unbeliever. So with an unbeliever, then you have to define in 1 Corinthians 7, what does it mean he's unwilling to live with you? And that has got to be defined in a way that's consistent with the passages in Ezra. Ezra did not make every person who had married an unbeliever divorce that unbeliever. He judged each case according to the law. And of course, when you go to look at the law, it was if they were engaged in capital crimes, if they had committed any kind of abuse. So I interpret the Exodus 21 passage as being the minimum definition of abuse. I think abuse has been way overblown, and people get divorces for what they say emotional abuse. But the minimum definition of abuse is a person who is getting no food, no clothing. They're out there shivering. They're not being provided for, no sexual rights. If you go for years with no sex with your spouse, you have been de facto abandoned. Now, if you're a believer, that's not grounds for divorce. You'd take the believer to your church court and you ask them to confront him. If he still refuses to give you your sexual rights, which you are covenanted to give to each other, he will be excommunicated, and at that point he's not willing to live with you, you are free to divorce him. So again, 1 Corinthians 7 has to be defined by the rest of Scripture.
Now, I'm assuming you mean that somebody who is medically and physically capable of continuing intimacy
Correct.
In the marriage, because obviously
Correct.
People
it's
become paraplegics and so on. I'm sorry?
Yes, correct. If a person is medically incapable, then obviously that's not a willful sin.
And that's a part of the, for better or for worse, vow that is often made in a marriage, and in sickness and in health.
Thank you for that clarification. Yes, that would be a providential hindrance rather than a willful sin.
Yes, I am always utterly amazed and in awe and humbled when I witness and hear about these loving, adoring women who remain married to their spouses. Even very often, they're not Christians at all. But if their husband has been wounded in battle in a serious way that would prohibit him or prevent him from having marital relations or any number of things, it could be a police officer or a fireman or any other person who's a victim of an accident.
Yeah,
to see that woman or man, but it's typically I'm seeing it involving a woman in the media anyway, standing by him, and that's just such a moving and touching and profoundly amazing thing.
Now, if a man is only has a disability in his sexual organ, there is no reason why he could not still lovingly satisfy his wife sexually.
Yeah, that's another thing that you were mentioning, or should I say, not that you were mentioning, but that I was wondering about, because there are Christians who might even agree with us theologically and doctrinally on many things, if not most, who think that all those things are prohibited even from the marriage bed, that it's only your standard sexual penetration that is acceptable with the idea of the possibility of conceiving a child, and everything else is just totally wrong.
Right, right. And yet the Song of Solomon talks about a great deal of richness there. There are many women who cannot even come to orgasm with the standard missionary position, you know, type of approach. And yet the Bible says that she has rights in that regard as well, that the husband needs to minister to. It's good to go to a doctor and see if there's reasons why, but there's not just one way that the Song of Solomon says that she could be ministered to and you know, come to orgasm.
We have yet another anonymous listener who says, I haven't heard anything yet about internet dating or internet matchmaking. I have tuned in late, so I don't know if I've missed something, but is this appropriate as long as the possible spouse you are pursuing is also a Christian?
Yes, I think there could be a number of creative ways of searching for a spouse. Some people are just too passive. If there's nobody in the general area, they just feel like they have to give up. I give an extended treatment, for example, of Genesis 24, where I go through over 21 principles, I think what maybe it's 24 principles that I derive from there. And one of those is involve other people. Internet could be one way of involving other people, but so can pastors, and so can relatives and friends. Helping a person to search for a spouse. Now, you want to make sure that they have the same worldview that you do, and that they understand your desires, your passions, your personality, so they're not just getting the next willing person, you know, to marry you. And you want to make sure as well that you're doing due diligence. I've seen women really taken advantage of. For example, my aunt thought that the person that was in the choir there and in the church, she didn't speak English very well, she came from Germany, thought that he was a Christian. As soon as they got married, he said, I was just pretending to be a Christian to get a good submissive wife. And he was an abuser. He was horrible.
Wow. I have heard of the exact same scenario. A woman that I knew from a distance, who was a member of my brother's church when I was a teenager, but I knew her. I met her at social gatherings. She eventually got married. She was dating, or actually she might have even been living with a man that was not a believer before she was saved. Then she left him because she became a Christian, and she said she would never marry him unless he became a Christian also. And he made a profession, was baptized, and on her honeymoon he said, guess what, I made it all up. And he turned out to be a nightmare of a husband and was unrepentantly, habitually involved in serial adultery.
Yes, yes. And so that's where having other people involved, you know, the norm is for parents to be involved. Even with Samson, who was a grown man, he had his parents involved. And now, in that case, they weren't making a good decision, were they? But if you have you have people that you trust, who share your worldview, understand your passions, what you're called to, they can help you to navigate these kinds of waters and get married. I've seen arranged marriages actually turn out wonderful.
Well, you know, you probably heard, if you were listening, one of my commercials. One of my sponsors is Dr. Banu Gadi, who is a pharmacist. And he owns several pharmacies, and he has his doctorate in pharmaceuticals. And he is from India, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, before he was a Christian, he and his wife were married as the result of an arranged marriage between their families. And he loves this woman now that they're saved also. There's no regrets. He said, oh, I think that was just the best thing in the world that ever happened to me, that arranged marriage. And he's just thrilled to death. But obviously, that doesn't mean that his case is the blueprint for everybody else.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, in both of our daughters, it was the parent of the young man who approached me and said, you know, I think my son would like to marry your daughter.
Wow.
Would you be at all interested? And we're not shy about approaching each other in situations like that. There's nothing lost if a person says, no, my daughter is already interested in somebody else. But in this case, we negotiated with each other, the two parents, and we both knew our children were interested, but we wanted to make sure that there were things in place, and it took some of the emotion, some of the fear, some of the angst out of it. And people who follow the principles laid out in my book, they find that a lot of the anxiety and stress that's involved in dating is taken out of it, and people feel free to share with each other, dig into their worldviews, what their opinions, what their dreams and visions are, and realize, you know what, we probably are fit for each other. Let's go to the next stage. It really takes a lot of the guesswork out of things as well, because you're immediately diving into serious issues. But I encourage people to utilize some of the principles for long-distance potential relationships and do it in a way that you avoid these disasters that happen through internet dating, where people pretend to be somebody that they're really not.
Yeah, I guess that would be a nightmare. Now, here's another issue, since you actually brought up the involvement of parents. I have even heard very conservative, reformed pastors say that a person should never marry another person if the parents of that person, or if your parents, totally object and refuse to give their blessing to the union. How do you feel about that? I mean, and also compare the scenarios to having lost parents and saved parents.
Right, right. And again, it's hard with one answer to cover the wide range of situations that are out there, but I think that there can be a place in certain situations where parents, for example, let's say that the parents are really abusive parents. I've known parents who have made the decision they're never going to let their daughter marry because they want that daughter to take care of them. So it depends on what's the reason why. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 does indicate that a father, well, at least on some translations, that the father has the right to say, no, I don't think so, not at this time. But he does not have the right to say, my daughter can never marry. In fact, John Calvin, in their session, they brought people up for discipline for saying that the daughters cannot marry. That's not a lawful order that a parent, even parents have limits to their authority. Churches have limits to their authority. So there's not one answer that can answer everything, but parents can, at least while the daughters are living at home, annul even a promise that a daughter has made, I'm going to marry this person. He ends up being a scoundrel, and the parents say, you made a vow, but Numbers 30 says I can annul that vow, and the daughter later says, thank you, thank you, thank you for having done that. But there's not any one situation. Now, if a daughter leaves home, again, there's not going to be the same authority that a parent has over that daughter. Numbers 30 is quite clear. It's while the woman is at home, which is the ideal. I think it's ideal that women not leave home until they get married. But not all homes are ideal. So the Bible gives answers even to the messed up situations of life, like the one I mentioned earlier where the parents really are abusive and not willing to live according to God's laws. Well, there could be a situation there where the young people would get married with hopefully the involvement of the elders, and they all agree this is a bad situation. But there is no one right answer. There's general principles in the Word, and then the Bible lays out quite a number of examples of how those general principles are applied.
Yeah, and you could have a parent or parents that have nothing, well, you already kind of mentioned it, or not even kind of, you did mention it, they have sinful, selfish motives for prohibiting a child from being married, like being taken care of, but having themselves taken care of by the child. But there's also racism that could be a factor. You could have people who are bigots who don't want their daughter or son to marry a black person if that family happens to be white. And that is a total unbiblical, in fact, a sinful reason for prohibiting a marriage, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And you know, it may seem a strange thing to even talk about the slave situations. They're more like indentured servants, but they're temporarily adopted by that master. Well, Deuteronomy mentions examples where without the parents' permission, they are married to each other. They go through the whole betrothal, courtship and everything. Why? Because the master of that slave was the new authority. So if a parent has abandoned, failed to support, and this girl has gone to live with a pastor or somebody else, is she going to have to get her parents' approval to marry? I mean, it's been a total abandonment. No, she's now under the protection and authority maybe of that pastor who she is living with. And I would say in a situation like that, it would be the pastor and the father of the boy that would arrange that marriage or help it to move forward.
And I think we are breaking a record here for the most, the greatest number of anonymous listeners asking questions, but I was sort of expecting it with a subject like this. We have an anonymous listener who wants to know, is it ever appropriate to enter into a marriage where the woman is going to be the primary breadwinner and the husband is a house dad raising the children at home?
Well, can I say never? You know, the Bible does indicate that a woman ordinarily should not get married to a man when he's unable or unwilling to support him. It's one of the reasons for the dowry system, which would be equivalent to a person buying insurance today. Because the dowry really was to protect a woman in case of divorce or death. It gave her some insurance she could fall back on. And And so when a person is not able to support a wife, he's not really doing the kind of financial leadership the Bible would call for. But let's say they've gotten engaged, he had a job before. Would it be okay to follow through on that marriage when he became completely disabled and he, maybe there's insurance that, you know, could help to support the family? I'm not willing to say no. It would be an odd situation, but they're already engaged, yes.
You could even have just a situation where, like Lydia, who was a seller of purple, I don't know what her husband did for a living, and she might have been a widow, I don't know. But she, from what I understand, that's a very expensive commodity that she was... Right. That she was selling. In fact, even the proverbial ideal woman is somebody who buys property and sells it and so on.
Sure.
You could have, could you not have a situation where the woman, before they're even married, makes 20 times what her hardworking
sure.
fiance does? Now, I'm not talking about a lazy bum, but a man who's just realized he might be a janitor and she might be a doctor. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they come to the conclusion, hey, I think it's best if you, Bill, or Bob, or John, or Joe, stay home and raise the children while I go out and do brain surgery. You know that?
Yeah. You'd want to judge each situation on its own merits. But I'm one of those old-fashioned people that says, generally speaking, the husband... ought to be at least employed and bringing in the primary income. God made women to be the nurturers, you know, the ones. There's so many scriptures that speak of her nurturing role within the family, and even physiology, brain physiology shows that women are much more capable of managing many, many different things at the same time than the average man would be. Obviously.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I know from my own experience.
Yeah.
My late wife was much more capable of doing multitasking.
Right. But I would be reluctant to give an absolute no on situations like that. There could be situations, I'm sure, that would fit the biblical principles and still not be quite there, but wow. To have a person, marry a person who's completely disabled, and it's almost like marrying a child, a dependent. I'm not going to say it can't happen, but that would be a difficult one for me.
Well, I'm going to go to the final break, and let me ask a follow-up question. We were talking before about somebody who is unable to provide sexual intimacy in the standard understanding of that because of a disability that occurs after they're married. What about people who get married where one of the people is quadriplegic or something? But we'll have you answer that when we come back, and if we have time for one or two more listener questions, we'll take them. And again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors with more Philip Kaiser.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back, and we have here for the final moments of the program today our guest, Dr. Phil Kaiser, discussing biblical romance. And if you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Dr. Kaiser, is it appropriate and biblical and within the liberty of a Christian to marry someone that you know beforehand is not capable of providing sexual intimacy, like somebody who is physically disabled?
Yeah, I would say no. You can call me a legalist, but I would say no, just like I would say no to the previous question. You know, the husband takes a wife to himself. He had to prove his ability to support himself and his wife with a dowry or something equivalent. I mean, David's equivalent was that he could protect, he could defend. 1 Timothy 5:8, you know, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he is denied the faith. He's worse than an unbeliever. Anyone there is a masculine. I think it's specifically directed to the father. So I would make a distinction between what has happened before. If you're disabled before marriage, you shouldn't get, he should not get married. If he's disabled after marriage, well, then it's providential, and you do the best that you can. But if there was an exception, let's just say theoretically there was an exception, that husband and wife would both have to think through, what are the consequences of this? What's the trajectory to my leadership? Will she be the de facto leader because she is the de facto breadwinner? But anyway, I'd say no to both. If you're sexually unable to provide for your own, that's one of the inherent requirements, you know, in Exodus 21 and in other passages, not only to provide sexual, but it's at least the promise, the hope to raise up children. It's one of the things in both the New Testament and the Old Testament. First Timothy, you know, on the wives as well. First Timothy 5, I desire that the younger women marry, bear children. So the dominion mandate to raise children, if you know deliberately that that's not possible, I know there's people who disagree with me, but I would say, well, that's really of the essence of marriage, and I would say no.
Well, since we only have about 4 minutes left, I'd like you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding this subject.
Well, I would say, for sure, don't allow some of the legalistic paradigms or the failed paradigms that are out there rob you of your confidence that the Bible gives everything that you need to be able to develop a godly romance into marriage. And, you know, read through 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Read through the principles laid out in Genesis 24. And see if this does not lay out a beautiful paradigm for marriage that's flexible enough to deal with all of the difficult situations of life, and even utilize parents. A lot of people are reluctant to involve their parents or to involve pastors or others, but involve others in this search. It adds objectivity to the search for a spouse. And especially if you have nobody that's available currently in your locale, look at some of the creative principles for finding a spouse utilizing pastors from a distance.
How about eloping, when you, especially if you have good, solid, loving Christian parents on both sides of the marriage? Is eloping where you just come back from a vacation and you break the news to your entire family, guess what, I'm married? Is that okay?
No. I think it's an honoring of our parents to involve them right from the start. I think the general norm, though it's not, there are exceptions in the Bible, obviously, is that parents actually do the initiation, generally speaking. Now, the guy can initiate. Ruth's is an example of the woman can initiate. But we ought to involve our parents unless they just lack all wisdom. And we have to bypass them. And then it's good to get the input of your pastors or people that you really respect.
How about you meet a person of the opposite sex, whether you are a man who meets a woman or a woman who meets a man? This person is not a believer. And perhaps you meet them at work, wherever you meet them, and you say, will you start visiting my church with me? And I'd love to get for you to get to know what I believe. And is that an acceptable way to pursue initially a possible spouse when you're pursuing an unbeliever with the hopes that they get saved and you're inviting them to church?
Absolutely not. People talk about that being evangelistic dating, you know. There needs to be really a history of all of the character principles that are in place. In fact, I've written two books that help a woman to see, is this young man really ready for marriage? And it goes through 35 areas of life, and it's got over 600 diagnostic questions to see, where is the person at? Now, nobody's going to be perfect, but then I've got another one for women. It's called Mature, and they're both free online on KaiserCommentary.com. And you can grade yourself, and it'll help you to grade it right there online. So the mature daughter shows a young man, is this woman ready for marriage? And you cannot be ready for marriage if you are not yet a believer or if you've just become a believer. There's character issues that need to be in place so that you don't bring all kinds of baggage into the marriage.
And going back to something you were saying earlier about perhaps young men especially learning the art of romance, as it were, I have heard from so many Christian women, single women, who are so frustrated by their brothers in Christ, who are totally socially inept and incapable of doing anything that would make them look like an attractive possible spouse, and that's why they get very often lured or at least tempted into dating people that are not even saved. If you have any comments on how a young man can learn more about that.
Yes, and I think pastors need to be involved in this. I meet with all of the young men in our congregation that are 20 years and above, and I do a lot of mentoring, leadership training, and trying to get them ready for marriage. But pastors ought to read this book and see what they should be involved in, because I think many pastors are derelict in their duty to protect some of the young women and men in their congregation. They're not preaching, or at least counseling, the whole counsel of God when they neglect all of these passages that deal with romance. They're afraid that people will think of them as old and stuffy, and yet the Bible's liberating. It's got beautiful guidance for romance, and if we don't follow it, it's only to our own hurt.
Well, I want to repeat your websites. BiblicalBlueprints.org is one, and the DominionInstitute.org is another, and of course the Dominion Covenant Church is DominionCovenantChurch.com. That's for Dominion Covenant Church in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you so much for being such an excellent guest, Dr. Kaiser. I look forward to your return very soon and very often. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.